Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this...
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, executive producer and co-host for today, and shortly we'll be joining our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. We're going to take a quick break and come back to you with this morning's guest. This is a show about empowerment, and first we're going to start off with a tribute to a man who began the momentum for African-American empowerment in this nation, and certainly we're seeing it manifest in our capital and now in our Supreme Court and in many of our cities. But in the city of Chicago, Mayor Harold Washington was elected at a time when many did not believe it was possible for an African-American to be elected to this city, known for so long for its racism and its political machine that kept
only certain families in positions of power and control. So this was definitely a revolutionary step. And we're going to talk to some of the organizers of events that are marking Mayor Harold Washington's 100th birthday. And then, of course, after our commercial break, we're going to bring on our dear sister, Maika. Maika Bevel has a long history of working toward a kind of empowerment that goes beyond mere politics. It is the self-sustaining empowerment that comes with land ownership and food growing. And as we get ready to re-establish for the spring season our pandemic farms program, and we'll be working with the farmers out in the Pembroke, Illinois community. And we're also launching on our online school the classes on how to grow your own food, how to recognize edible food that is growing, and how to create an agribusiness. And Maika's late husband, James Bevel, had a vision for helping to reestablish that empowerment of many who had been displaced or had simply left the rural areas of the South and forgot all about how to even grow their own food. And so we needed to relearn a lot of things, and particularly how to see ourselves as able to feed ourselves. So feeding yourself and governing yourself is a sign of a free people. And if you are believing that other people must take care of you, then even though there was the Emancipation Proclamation, you're still not free. So we're going to talk about that with Maika after our commercial break. But first, we want to bring on those who have kept the dream and the vision of Mayor Harold Washington alive. We're going to be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, after our first commercial break. But first, we want to bring on our special guest today. And first of all, let me introduce to you Darva Watkins, a lady who is about to take a step towards some major empowerment. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today on the Female Solution.
Good morning. God bless you, woman of God. God bless everyone that's on the line. We're just coming to talk about some great and wonderful things that's going on in our city. And I am Darva Watkins. I am the founder of Women Are Rising Ministries. We are rising. Women are rising with men on a mission to go back into our communities to take our children out of the hands of our enemies. And so we just come in to pray and worship and and we going on with the sister to, you know, talk about and discuss and come up with solutions. We need solutions, solutions to everything, and we are asking the Lord to step in with us. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all men to me. And we have to keep that in mind. We must lift up the Lord at all times. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. And in the name of your organization is Women on a Mission. Is that correct?
Women Are Rising. The name is WAR,
oh.
W-A-R, and the acronym is WAR.
Ooh. Women Are Rising.
And Women Are Rising, and that came through the Holy Spirit, because right now in these days, at a time such as this, we are definitely in a spiritual warfare. Although we are in a political war, but we're also in a spiritual war. And a spiritual war is more powerful than any war, because a spiritual warfare is when Yah and God is having a time to see who's going to follow who. And I say this to everyone, get ready. And you cannot handle a spiritual war with weapons. Hallelujah. The weapons hallelujah, God. Our spiritual weapons is what is our mouth, the word of God, huh? And that's what we need. We need to put on our complete armor and get dressed for this war, this spiritual war. And don't forget, your helmet of salvation is very serious. And we need to make sure we guard our ear and eye gate. That's right. And those who have ears, let them hear, and those who have eyes, let them see. But we must lift up the Lord, and we must get ready, my sisters. The women are rising, but we must rise with the men on a mission, because that makes up the family. And then we must go back and get our children. And this is what we're dealing with all across this nation. Families. The enemy is breaking down the family territory, breaking down marriages, breaking down our children by any means necessary. We got to do what Yah said to do, Yahshua and Yahweh. Come on, y'all, hear what I say. It is time to pray, because the enemy is praying, P-E-R-Y, on us every day.
That is true. We are most definitely in challenging circumstances, especially because we have been for so long believing ourselves to be helpless. And as a result, we have allowed others to make choices for us that are not in our best interest. So Women Are Rising, that is such a powerful name for what must happen. We are, in fact, on the winning side in this spiritual warfare, but we must remember that the women, are the ones influencing the culture. And so we, as you said, must rise, even as the men rise, and reclaim what is ours, and that is our right to self-determination. So we thank you so much for being our guest today and working with our dear brother, Minister Robert Floyd Plump, in the establishment of a commemoration of a man whose election really helped to awaken those who had believed themselves lacking in power, and those who had been afraid to take control of a city in which they were actually the numerical majority. And so this week, April 15th, the day of the anniversary of Mayor Harold Washington's birth, there are celebrations happening all across the city to remind us on this 100th anniversary of his birth that his stepping forward to galvanize people and bring together a coalition really set in motion the momentum that ultimately led to our electing a man of African descent to the White House, and now we've got a first lady. We've had an African American man and first lady. Now we have a vice president and a Supreme Court justice of African descent, and those two who are female are definitely making a statement and showing that we are winning this war when it comes to changing the mindset of our people toward self-government, self-empowerment, self-control, and having the capacity to make decisions that are going to affect their lives. So thank you so much, Darva Watkins, for all that you do. Now I'm going to bring on our brother, Minister Robert Floyd, who has been holding the banner for Mayor Harold Washington all of these years, and we thank you so much, Minister Plum, for joining us today. And we appreciate all that you do as one who was obviously very inspired by Mayor Washington. Give us a rundown of the events that are happening this Friday.
Weo and Yashalom, Ahua. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful. Black is blessed, and we are all about success, breed success. And thank you, beloved, for this opportunity to share with you, and especially you, Chicago, and the female solution. Thank God for the female solution. 100 year centennial Earth Day, birthday of the honorable nobody but hell, Good Friday, as we say, April 15th, 2022. We are going to start out at 9 a.m. with a community breakfast. And first of all, I might say this. Mayor Harold Lee Washington said, we must plump the whole community. And this was a reality that we was at Father George Clemens Church on Oakwood Boulevard. When he made that statement, we must plump the whole community. And I almost fell out my seat. I looked around to see if there was any more plumps in the house, and I couldn't find and tell nobody except myself. So I became what I call Mayor Washington beloved spiritual business and political son. As a result, we obtained the music from April the 15th, which we reflect on April the 12th, which was yesterday. And I want to make mention of we was there at the public library, which is Harold Washington Library now, and all of the old, original, authentic superstars was there, including the godmother, Josie Childs, okay, which is the president of the Harold Washington Legacy Committee. And I am the president of the Harold Washington Foundation. And this was also introduced and presented by our CEO, Mayor Harold Lee Washington, fiance, which was Sister Mother Queen, Sister Mary Ellen Smith, okay? And now I must let you know all about the 9 a.m. community breakfast. We've been asking everyone to participate in being present. Let God let go and let God and show out the miracle, because it is a miracle day. So we're going to start out with a community breakfast at Harold Washington Park District, 5200 South High Park Boulevard. And that's Chicago, Illinois, 60615. That is Bryansville. That's where Mayor Harold Lee Washington, which is the third ward, was raised and born from Cook County Hospital. At 1 o'clock, we are going to, and 12 o'clock, we are going to be at the Washington Park Fieldhouse, 5531 South Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. We are going to be leaving around 11, no later than 11:30 from Harold Washington Park District, and we are going to be going to the Washington Park Fieldhouse, which is, again, we're in it to win at 5531 South Dr. King Drive. We go from there to Burke Elementary School to pray for the children. Oh, yes, we need prayer in season and out of season. And Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, is the reason. And then we're going to do a U-turn, Naima, and go back to 55th and go to the park, to DuSable Museum. We always go through the front door, and then we end up at the back door. But before we get to the back door, we observe the exhibit at DuSable Museum, all about the story of the world's greatest mayor. And you know, we have a movie coming out by Brother Joseph Michael Chapin, and the movie is called The Greatest Good. That came because of Nobody But Harold. He named the movie, not Joseph, not myself, or anyone else. However, we're going to end up at 1035 East 67th Street, which is known as Oakwood Cemetery, for a prayer vigil. And then we're going to come back to Harold Washington Park District for a community celebration. We're going to have some food, some music, and fun. And we want everybody to contribute, bring yourself, bring your chairs, bring some food, and let's celebrate Nobody But Harold's Day. And you, for more information, you can go to plumpfoundation.org. You can also Zelle us at the Harold Washington Foundation at 312-671-2773. And our team, 23, invites you, which is also our president, Dava Watkins, at yahoo.com. And we thank God for you, Sister Naima Latif, and the Female Solution. And we thank our president, which is the president of Harold Washington Park District. And we love you. God will only that this day would be successful. And one of the greatest things that we did with our president, Phil Coran, we incorporated the artists from Mayor Harold Lee Washington. And we got the music. The music from his April, and that was yesterday, 1983, which marks 28 years ago that Mayor Washington actually started his campaign in 82. And a man called Hal, we're going to hope to have Martha H. Palmer there. And we're going to have Gregory Jones there from Black Wall Street Music. And we're going to be featuring Clump Music Productions. And that's what we did. And we are still featuring and remembering the artists from Mayor Harold Washington. So at this time, I'm thankful that we shared all that information. Be sure and Zelle us, the Harold Washington Foundation, at 312-671-2773. Thank you very much. Or go to Dava Watkins at yahoo.com. She's our president of Harold Washington Park District. And we love her as well as all of the family. And, you know, we was at the library, as I mentioned yesterday. Harold used to always say, and here's Harold. You want Harold, and you got Harold. Now you got his son, and I'm yours truly, the spiritual son of Nobody But the Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington. And we thank you for the remarks, the life and spirit and remarkable achievements of Mayor Harold Washington. And 100-year centennial, we'll be celebrating all day from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thank you so much.
Give that location again, Minister Plump, where you'll be gathering the street address.
Right. Harold Washington Park District, 5200 South High Park Boulevard. That's right between 51st and High Park Boulevard and 53rd Street. And we appreciate if all Chicago come out. I did invite Mayor Lori Lightfoot out. I invited all the aldermen out. We invited all Chicago. They don't know Sister Naima, but Chicago equals the team 23. Chicago equals the 23. Team 23 is, and the acronym is, together everyone achieves more, together everyone achieves much, Together, everyone achieves money. Together, everyone achieves millions. Together, everyone achieves miracles. And all miracles come from God. We're going to be plumping up Chicago, America, and the world in peace, love, unity, marketing people. And we are marketing you, the female solution, because it's your birthday, too, April 15th. And it's also Dr. Spencer Leak of Leak & Sons Funeral Home Services. He's one of our sponsors, Black Star Project, which is the children organization. We must all help save the children. We must all help, and it's going to take us all to help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, all of that looting and hijacking. We're not a part, none of that. The Harold Washington Foundation and the People's Mind Incorporation is a music organization for profit and nonprofit. And we do, I will be posting it up on Plump Music Production, which is also plumpfoundation.org. Our EIN number and for the People's Mods Incorporation and also our Washington Foundation. And I thank you
all
again.
Right.
We're in
the call on the line. Let me take a caller before the break. I'll take a caller in case they've got a question they want to ask you or Ms. Darva Watkins. And again, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. And after the break, we'll be joined with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we'll be talking about with Maika more empowerment as we look at the vision that her late husband, Reverend James Bevel, had of teaching people how to grow their own food and developing farming communities, as well as learning how to organize politically on a local level so they could have bodies that made decisions for the community. We have the power in our hands. We just need to learn how to use it. And Mayor Harold Washington definitely demonstrated what happens when we take that power in our hands and use it. So let me go to our phone line, and we have area code 773-521, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your question or comment for our guest.
Good morning. This is Kufi James. Catch me on YouTube. How y'all doing? Congratulations, Plump. I tried to help Plump maybe a year and a half ago, the breaking song, The Great is Good, which I have on my YouTube page under I'm a Sox fan. Maybe you want to check that out. One of the things that concerns me now, and I know how people were, we're getting uplifted, but the true concerns is that we can't keep returning back playing this old. I used to work with the Song Museum at the Harold Washington Wing, okay? And I talked to Margaret Burroughs, and I said, it's more not about being African. We have to understand that our American roots is that nobody brought us here from Africa, giving me freedom to do a lot of things in America. This is how we're really going to lead, because.
Well, Kufi, tell me this. Tell me, how will a new mindset help people to think in terms of organizing their power to govern themselves? How will this new thought help them to do that?
Chicago area, there's a. Because you're not using a new mindset. You're not connecting it to the plantation. Everything is not from the plantation. That's not where it started. Now it's connected with the historical pyramids, the Olmec people, the people who were here, the kings, the queens, the pharaohs that were here. And now what you're doing, you're honoring your family. You're honoring your ancestors. I'm honoring my ancestors.
Boy, you said she didn't have anything but down to the golden store.
Okay, so let me get a response before we take
honoring your American ancestors. Our ancestors are not in Africa. Your ancestors are from here, Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia. Okay, go back to our roots and honor here as being the original people in America. I get so much respect all over the world because I stated that.
Because I stated that.
My question again, Sophie, you have the original people.
See, this is the clash. This is the clash. This is where the monkey has to get the role. This is the clash that we're going to have right now in our society. Who we are. No, I'm saying who I am. Now, I don't know who you are, but I'm not African. And this is what puts us in a slave mentality and keeps us, our children down and in the mud, thinking we ain't nothing but some slaves. No, we were kings and queens and pharaohs when these people came here. I am a prince.
So
you understand? And so you are a queen of America.
Okay, so Koopy, we got to take a break. But I want, when I come back, I want to focus on what actions will that thought result in that will change our condition? Because you can say you're from the moon. If you don't know how to do some basic things like grow your own food and manufacture your
That's
own clothing.
That's what it does. It returns you back to the land.
And you can't do that unless you have a landlord. That can organize resources. That becomes the point. It makes you a landlord of your land.
There you go. That's what it does. It makes you ownership and landlord of your land. Exactly. You got it. That's what it does.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. And before Maika joins us, we're going to come back to our guests and talk about how important it is to have the power to select those who will represent you, who will lead you, who will organize governmental bodies, and make sure that your children have the skills they need for self-governing and self-management, and self-sustaining communities. How do we build that? What are the steps? And how did Mayor Washington change the face of Chicago in many ways to empower the citizens? We'll talk about that when we get back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. If you're on our switchboard now, press 1. And we will certainly take your comments. And if you are on our Facebook page, feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening audience. And, of course, Darva Watkins says, War Ministries, watching, praying, and sharing everywhere. And that is what we are looking forward to, is continuing to pray and put forth that spiritual energy. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed. taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we have with us today Darva Watkins and Minister Robert Floyd Plump, who are promoting the event this coming on this Friday, the 100th anniversary celebration of Mayor Harold Washington and his birth and his emergence as a political leader in our times helped to change much of our thinking. But we want to take a look at one of the things that is critical in changing a position that people hold, and that is an understanding of what it takes truly to be free. Free to determine your own destiny. And that means you must see yourself as a person of power. If you have a victim mentality, if you stay stuck on what people won't let you do, then you fail to see what you have in your own hands. And one of the things our guest Darva spoke about with her organization, Women Are Rising, is realizing that we must work along with the men in empowering ourselves to take care of our families. And this is a large part of what political leadership does. So, Minister Plump, can you remember some of the things that Mayor Washington did when he first got elected that changed the fares for people living in Chicago, many of them who were struggling financially, didn't have access to city contracts in a way that was equitable, didn't have neighborhood services in a way that kept their communities clean and respectable looking, basic city services like garbage pickup. You know, can you remember some of the differences that you saw after he was elected?
Well, thank you. Yes. As they say, yes, we can. And we should remember the world's greatest mayor because one of the greatest things that he did was, in which is our time now, and especially the black woman time now, is he placed the black woman in leadership position for the first time and recognized the black woman as a leader from, you know, his administration. We noticed that even the police department changed because Harold established a positive, progressive, and a professional structure of the police. Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me, Sister Naeem?
I think his call may have dropped. But okay. He was making a point, which is a very critical point to remember, because even now we have issues with relationships with police and citizens. And leadership in a city does matter when it comes to how the people are treated, how they're perceived, and what effects the one in leadership has. So we're going to take another caller, area code 312-568. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
This is Sister Darva. I just wanted to say that.
312-568.
Yeah, I have more than one line, so I'm on that line. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Okay, this is Sister Darva, Washington.
Okay,
and,
yes. Thank you for coming back. Yeah,
I wanted to say that you want us to speak about the what we remember about Harold Washington?
Yeah, what do you remember how the city changed? Mr. Plump was talking about how he saw more women in positions of power, and I do remember that. I believe his press secretary was a woman, I think. Wasn't it Avis Lavelle, I think? Seems like I'm remembering.
Don't forget about Perry Small, too. She did media for Perry Small from VON Radio. Perry was there. Doc Walls was his youngest. Doc Walls was his right hand man, young white hand man. Yeah, in his early 20s, and he did everything with Harry. Carry his coat. He did everything with him. And then you had Paul. Paul passed along. He passed away, but Paul was there, and Will Crosby was there definitely. They were there, and it was so many of us. Sally was there. She ended up passing away recently, and it was just a host of all of those people. But what the purpose of me getting involved in politics is because my aunt was a young Democrat back in the day, and she asked me to help her get involved by doing voter registration to help get our first black mayor in office. And I was about 22 years of age at that time, too. And so I got a chance to meet with Alderman Alan Streeter of the 17th Ward, and I went to his office because at the time I was in that ward, and I let him know that I wanted to continue to work with the late mayor, with Hal Washington, to help him become the first black mayor of the city of Chicago. And they brought me in as a runner, R-U-N-N-E-R, and I have been running ever since, 42 years doing politics, working on campaigns all over the city with our people in the county, the federal, the state. And I say that because I did not believe that I was staying in politics. I only came to get a black mayor. I didn't come to stay. I came to help get a black first African-American mayor in office. And I never could have thought or would have thought that I would be have worked on hundreds of campaigns for 40-some years. I'm like, I don't believe this. And I still don't. But that what I remember is that he was a man of integrity, honesty. He looked out for all race of people. He did great and wonderful things. And he changed a lot of things that needed to be, have been changed. And we know that we said, like he said, if you got you want Harold, you got Harold. And so I was a runner, and they don't even use runners anymore. But from a runner, I went from a runner to every position that you could work on political campaigns, and I'm still running for our people. I believe that if my people cannot eat, I don't want to eat. I'd rather starve. And that's where the unity in the community came in with the late Mayor Harold Washington. And I want to say this, too. We're going to pray at 9 a.m. during the breakfast because prayer is everything, and we're going to ask war disciples and our men disciples and our shy disciples to come together. That's the men, women, and children. And we want them to come and pray. Prayer warriors, come and pray for Chicago. We need to pray for Chicago and other places also, but mainly for our city. And Harold Washington is a legacy. He left a legacy, and I just and he helped many black elected officials get in, you know, he helped them get in their position. Some of them are still there, some of them are not, but he helped so many, everybody from the fire department, the police department, for all, every department was just, he brought back justice. That's what we need. He brought back justice and unity. He brought honesty and integrity and responsibility. And he worked with the Hispanics, the blacks, the whites. I mean, he had a coalition of all people, all ages, and from every place in the city, and I miss him. I really do. And he did great and wonderful things, and I just had to say that. He is the reason why I am who I am today when it comes to politics.
Yes, yes, I can understand that. He launched many people in their careers. Well, we're joined now with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum. Are you able to hear us clearly? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on one moment. I may need to reconnect in another way. One of the things that we have had an opportunity to do in the course of reminding people of the importance of your political involvement is to give people an understanding of how it works. And for so long, we've been on the protest end. You know, we march, we have rallies and speeches. But then once we have elected somebody to office, the time comes to work with the person that we have chosen to do the job of governing the city and organizing the resources to distribute them to people in a fair manner. And sometimes if people are not ready for that role, they remain in protest mode instead of, okay,
oh,
this is the now let us create laws and policies that can address the problem. We don't have to be angry and protest anymore. So a lot of the people that you mentioned that were on his staff, that had previously been on the side of protesting, were now in the system. So what would you say to those who are perhaps considering political involvement, maybe running for alderman, maybe running for any number of the positions that are available, city clerk, treasurer? Would you say that it's important for us to study what these positions actually do, who's responsible for what in city government, so that we can know what the jobs are and we can be more prepared to select good leadership. What would you advise?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, Darva, go ahead, and then I'll get Minister Plump's thoughts on that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, my sister, because that is so important. To be in a position, to get elected and forget who put you there and forget your role, and that's what has taken place. I don't think anybody else would ever do what the late Mayor Hal Washington did. And so many people today, or after he passed away, people begin to run for office. The black community begins to separate. We really begin to go back to our old ways. And I talked to people that was in politics in the 50s and 40s with Dawson and all those type of people. And so I'm saying this, you're correct, and I'm glad you brought that up, because people forget or lose their way once they are voted in. I don't know if they believe that I'm in now, I don't have to do anything, or if they just believe that I'm in and I don't know what to do. And I think that people that are elected into these positions, they need to have some background. In my opinion, they need to have some type of form or background of politics, of government, and their responsibilities and duties. And this is what our elected officials are not doing that. They are voting on things that doesn't make sense, that's going to hurt our people. They are getting in office. They are not bringing nothing back to our communities. And they are just getting paychecks. You know, elected officials, depending on what level, they make between $100,000 to $500,000 a year, from the president on down to aldermen. I'm telling you this. And it looks like to me, my sister, it's like they're not in it for the right reason. It's like, you know, I'm here, I got elected, but then you forget the people. What about the people? For by and of the people by any means necessary. Come on. But they get in and they do this. And I'm looking not now, I'm looking at more of the African-American elected officials. Because when you look at the African-American communities, you see what happens. The communities are in a shambles. No communities have changed since the march of 1968, the Martin Luther King march, the riots. Our cities look worse. You know, and no one has rebuilt them. And so I'm like, but you guys are getting a salary. You're supposed to work for the people. And I believe they are not humble enough to understand. And then what happens too, when we continue to do the same thing, you know, a person's been in office 2 years, 4 years, or whatever terms you get, but you go back and put them back in office, and they haven't done nothing since they've been in from the beginning. So I believe they get comfortable, they take advantage, not all of them, but many of them do that. And when you look at Chicago right now, hell, Washington would probably be crying. This city is so, it's so corrupted and so evil. And I'm just talking about the African-American. We have, 17, I think we have 18 black wards now, and we're going to lose a couple, two more. You know, and I'm looking at our wards, our people, what Harold came to save us. And we did not stay in that saving mode, and we began to sell our people out. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, and I'm glad you brought that up. And most of our elected officials, many of them have degrees, and many of them have law degrees. I'm for real. Some of them don't, but a lot of them do. And many of them, now I will say this, and people are going to get angry when they're not going to like this, but many of our well-known, high-ranking political figures in Chicago, they are not originally born or raised here. Many of them, and I'm not going to mention their names, but many of them came later after college, after high school, after college. They came later on, but the people that are really, that were born and raised here and grew up here, they are not the ones in power. And those are called, I was learned by one of my well-known politician friends, the Wyatt Kenneth, he said those are called carpetbaggers, people that come in, and we all come from some place, but we're talking about the people that's running our city, our county, our for real, our state politicians. And federal, most of them were born in other cities and places, and then they came here later on in life when they got older, like after college or two. And now those are the people that's in power. But the people that were really here from the beginning to the end and went through all of the things we went through in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, they are not in, those are not, many of them are not in, even in power. And I believe that's what's going on. And you might say, but sister, well, how does that make sense? Even in the Bible, it talks about certain people that, you know, that the Israelites and all of them should be with. They said these are not, you know, you have to, you know, warn yourself and things like that. And so I believe this. If I go to New York, but I'm from Chicago, and I get elected, my allegiance is to Chicago, not New York. But I'm going to take the position. Now, I'm going to take the position because there's money there, and I'm going to get paid, and it's going to give me power. But that doesn't mean just because I'm in New York that I'm going to do what I need to do for New York because I'm from Chicago. And so I think that's what happens when the people come from other places. Their allegiance is to where they're born and raised. And I can understand that. But then we have to understand that you have to also want to step up and run for office. Woman of God, I've been trying to run people for office for years, and they are afraid, or maybe they just don't care, or maybe they just figured that some people say they don't want to run, Darva, because, you know, they dig up a lot of dirt and things like that on you. I understand politics can be dirty, but then you got to do, insanity is keep doing the same thing, expecting something different. And we keep putting the same people in office, and nothing has changed. I mean, some people are in office, you know, 70, up to the 70, 80 years old. And then you get complacent. You say, oh, I'm comfortable. You know, I did a few things, but that's it, you know. But look at our people who suffer. The people suffer. The Bible talks about that. Come on now, about the people rejoicing when good things are going on, with leaders and things. And so that's the mindset that our people have ashamed with, because they figure, well, you know, you win, you lose, you lose. What can we do? You bring somebody in, they do the same thing.
Yes. Well, you have a comment from Deborah Smith, our third Saturday host, and she says, I agree with you. Whenever you plan for a career or search for a job, you research for the position so you have some idea of what you will be responsible for. But we find some folks go for the positions for prestige or status. And she also says that some folks don't realize the actual boots on the ground responsibility of this position and the relationships needed to have. And I think, and I agree, I think that's one of the main issues that we have with people who have positions in government. They didn't have the skills that it takes to actually do the job. They didn't research what the job entailed, and they didn't have the kind of connections that are required to get the job done efficiently. They basically, from what I observed, they wanted to get into a secure government job and be
That's
in
right.
politics and a siege that comes with it. But
That's right.
what are the skills it takes to be, say, a city clerk or even a judge or a commissioner on the Cook County Board, or a city alderman, and, you know, any of those lawmaking positions. I mean, it's good to be an activist, and some of our activist people have a lot more knowledge on what kind of laws should be proposed than some of our people in law, because you do have to know the community and the community's needs. But you also need to go through the process of learning how to present legislation, because that's
yes.
what changes things. Don't
yes.
know how to do that, then you can make all the speeches in the world, but you can't change the law. So, and you got to know how to so you can get other people to vote for the law. So those are the things that I see need to be addressed for anybody who wants to get into politics and actually, if they believe they want to be in government. So, Minister Plump, one last, we got about a minute left before we take our last break and bring on our next guest. So, tell us one last thing, Minister Plump, people should think about if they want to perhaps follow in Mayor Harold Washington's footsteps and get elected to a position of leadership. What are one of the things that they should do in following his lead, in your opinion?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. The greatest thing that I think that Mayor Washington did was he listened to the people. Plus, he was a man of God. Mayor Harold Washington promoted freedom, justice, equality, economics, and unity in the community. He promoted also the concept of Chicago works together, and all for one and one for all. So we are going to continue to keep up the life and the legacy of nobody but Harold, the Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington. He did a most unique thing by listening to the people, and all of the new politicians should learn to listen to their constituents in order that they might be successful. And the greatest success is that God's will only. It was God's will that Mayor Washington won the April 12, 1983 election, and again, he came back with entered to win on April 7, 1987, and we got all that music that we did with our president, Phil Coran, from the artists for Mayor Harold Lee Washington. And we thank you for this time, and thank God for the Female Solution. You know we love you. And Sister Diva, I got a book for you and a new button from the meeting yesterday at Chicago Public Library. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God
and
bless
looking
you.
Looking forward to everyone being present.
Well, thank you so
and
much,
Harold Washington Park District.
You're
welcome.
And thank you, Darvo Watkins, for being with us. We appreciate both of you taking the time to educate the people, to inform them of a wonderful event, and to invite those who are in and around the Chicagoland area to come out and be with the community, and that is this coming Friday. And we'll have you all back to give us a rundown of how things went on our Saturday program with Deborah. We talked about let's move around with Deborah, and we will take a look at what some of the people shared during that important ceremony. So we'll be right back after this next break. And if you're listening online, you want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-593-25 and press 1. We're going to bring in our co-host and our American Muslim 360 family as we talk about Wishmaika farming and the empowerment of learning how to grow your own food. She's going to share with us the vision of Reverend James Bevel and him organizing people who have been urbanized to think in terms of the power that comes with growing your own food, buying your own land, and knowing how to feed yourself. And then you can take the steps of creating structures where you can govern yourself and learn how to distribute the resources to the community in a way that's fair and equitable. That's what makes us free people when we can do that. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us. Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Graves. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And let me know if our sound is okay. We're trying to work out some audio issues. We want to make sure everybody on both our blog talk channel and Facebook and YouTube can hear clearly. And we are certainly, of course, live on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, where our guest has been Darva Watkins and Minister Robert Floyd Plump, and they are organizers of a major celebration this Friday commemorating the 100th anniversary of the birth of Chicago Mayor Harold Washington. But actually, we had a political resurgence really in cities across the nation, and I know we've got a lot of listeners in the St. Louis area, a lot in the Atlanta area, a lot in the New York area, a lot in the Orlando, Florida area, and so many across the nation where there have been political movements that have changed lives, and even now so many are organizing for this upcoming election. But one of the things that is critical to those who wish to see a change is developing skills. One of the things, and we attended the press conference of Dr. Willie Wilson the other day, and he announced he was running for mayor. And we're looking forward to having him on and other candidates on in the coming weeks. But one of the things that he spoke about, bringing trades back to the school. And we know that it's a major issue that affects employment and job availability. If you don't have a skill, then why would someone pay you? When it's necessary, even in the rebuilding of our cities, it's necessary that we have some basic people like, you know, bricklayers, cement workers, people who know how to do arbory work with tree planting, people who know how to do landscaping, people who know how to fix railroads, people who know how to do maintenance on buses and know how to repair trains, people who know how to do some of the basic skills that are needed to keep a city running. And when you don't have those skills in your schools, then where do you think your labor force is going to come from? There's no point in us being angry at people who come from Latin America and get jobs, and if they have skills, and the people who live here and were educated here don't have those skills. We can't get mad. So leadership matters, and knowing how to organize your resources, it matters. It's not enough to be able to give a good speech. And this is how we tend to choose our leadership. It comes out of the tradition of, and I'm not knocking, you know, churches and spiritual communities and religious organizations, but we tend to, black people, oratorical skills. And that's fine. But that doesn't necessarily translate into organizing skills or negotiating skills. And we need to figure out what skills a job requires. So let me see if we've got our co-host on the line with us. Kareem Hamid, are you with us? Unmute if you are with us. I believe we have our...
Okay, here I am.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, would you press one on your phone name so I can keep up with your phone line here on the studio board?
Okay, did it light up? 312-849?
Let me first put you on mute, then press one on your phone.
Muted.
It will activate, inshallah.
You are now in the host
press
queue.
Press one now, if you would.
All right, so you should.
Okay, let me see. There you are.
All right.
Okay. Unmuted.
Then you worked with a sister. I'm really
loud.
Yes, thank you. I heard the ending part of the guest you had on prior to this presentation that you'll be getting ready to make now, and it all gels right in with the subject matter that you are addressing, political acumen, knowing how to, once you have gained a seat in public office, knowing how that office operates, knowing how to get things done. We are grateful here in St. Louis. We have elected our mayor Jones. She's an African American, very bright sister. And so far, I have no complaints about her. She is closely tied to the community here. But what I want to say is that Mayor Hal Washington, we held a Islamic meeting in Chicago during his term. And he knew Imam Wasuddin Muhammad.
Oh, yeah.
May God bless both of them, the higher station in paradise. And he came and spoke to us. And he had mentioned how he was going to bury the political machine. And but one of the subject matter that he broached, and I hope that those of us that are aspiring for a political office, he was a coalition builder.
Yes.
He was a coalition builder.
Yes.
It was not just the African-American community that elected the Honorable Harold Washington to office. It was all of Chicago.
That's
so
it. Definitely.
We have to be willing. Yes, ma'am. We have to be willing to build coalitions. Talk with those people that you are going to have to rely on to get the votes for your proposal.
That is it.
A politician. Yes, a politician may have an excellent program, an excellent idea, and we elect him. But that politician alone cannot get that proposal passed.
Right.
So that politician has to be a coalition builder. A coalition builder in order to garner the votes to get whatever they have proposed to pass. And that requires listening to each other. That requires not demonizing other people that you're going to have to rely on to get your proposal passed. So that idea of coalition building and politics is the art of compromise.
Yeah.
You may not get all that you want. It is the art of compromise.
And
be willing to support the efforts of others that you're going to need their vote now.
That's true.
To get your proposal through. Yes.
That's true. And you know,
so
that's
he was good at that.
That is true. And that's one of the reasons why you can't be too nasty in an election. Because you don't know who you're going to have to depend on. And even when I observed the presidential election, the ones who are wise, they don't do a lot of mean name-calling of their opponents. Because if you win, you might have to choose one of them as your vice president. And if they win, they're going to have to choose one of you all as a vice president. So if you've been nasty, you know, you probably won't be selected. And this is why you have to know how to run a race with integrity and respect, even to your opponents. I'm going to open the mic for caller 815-300 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Yes, this is Maika. How are you?
I was hoping it was. I said I'm praying this is her calling on another number.
I apologize for this morning. I was in an accident last night, and I'm
actually
in the hospital. So I'm all right. I'm all right, but I don't have my phone, so I couldn't call you on my phone. But I just wanted to let you know that, okay?
Well,
I
appreciate your diligence in calling us from the hospital.
Yes, that's so. The only number I knew was this number.
Yes, well, I'm glad you knew that one. Because, I mean, we've been calling and leaving messages and everything. So I'm so glad that your intuition told you to call on in. Yes,
mm-hmm.
you're
Well, you know, Maika had a wonderful background in working with someone whose leadership really was envisioning ways to organize the community and do things like setting up farming communities, setting up precinct organizations, and really was trying to give us a different vision of how we can take what we have and build independent, interdependent communities and therefore stop seeing ourselves as helpless victims. So, Maika, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll be hearing from Maika every third Wednesday of the month. She's out in a farming community where people are literally living the vision of what it takes to be self-sustaining by growing their own food. But Maika, tell us about that period of time when a lot of people didn't have the thought of let's really get independent and get the land and grow the food and create a community. What were some of James Bevel's ideas on that that kind of revolutionized our thought and made us think in terms of empowerment?
Well, we were in Nashville. All of us were, and we were a community, and all of us were from the city. And he told, James Bevel told us, he said, all of our rights are now on the books. They're protected. He said, so we're really free people, but the first thing a free people do is grow their own food, because that's the most sustaining thing for you. You got air, you got water, the next thing is food. And you can control that. So we all agreed to learn how to grow food. That was in like 1977 or 6. Yeah. That was, and so we all became farmers.
Yeah.
And we, and Spirit God directed us to farmers who taught us what we needed to know. And they were just so happy to have students to pass on the knowledge to. And we grew so much food.
Wow.
And it was, and eventually it was organic. As we met Reverend Al Couch, he had an organic farm in Hiram, Ohio. He was one of the forerunners in the organic movement. And he took us in, and he told us that his 125 acres was ours, but there were certain things that we couldn't do, and that is we couldn't use chemicals, and we couldn't kill anything on the land. I mean, like snakes, we'd have to step over snakes. They knew we couldn't kill them or nothing. But he taught us so much about the organic food processing and growing. And also about health. Al Couch was an amazing man. And then we were there with him for about 3 years.
And we set up. We invited our Chicago. They don't know.
We set up. Hiram, Ohio was. Is that you, Naeem? Are you here?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I hit the wrong button.
Oh, that's you. Okay. We set up markets in Youngstown, Cleveland, and Akron, Ohio, because Hiram was like the hub of those three cities. And so we would set up markets at church parking lots and grow and just sell our food. And it was all organic, but we charged regular prices. And then we left. When we left Hiram, we came to Chicago, and we set up our own farming process on the south side of Chicago. I can't even think of the neighborhood right now. And then we had a farm in Woodstock, Illinois, and
wow,
in Lansing, Illinois. And we recruited young people to participate, and we take them out to the farm. They would be out of their territory, you know. This was around 75th and Yates. What's that neighborhood called?
I think that's South Shore. Yeah.
So we take them out to the country. We teach them how to harvest. and cultivate the land, and then we bring them back to the city and teach them how to set up markets, and the money they made from the markets, they were able to keep. And so it was a wonderful experience that we told the young people, we're leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. We're not going to pick up anybody. We're not going to call nobody. They would be ready at 5. They'd be lined up at 5:30. They were so excited to go to the farm, to the country.
Wow.
So that
wow.
was like our heyday during that time. And then we kind of came apart and did our own things in farming. So,
wow. So what was that like then, going from, I'm sure most people had been urbanized, you know, didn't know anything about how to put a seed in the ground, how to water it, how to till the soil. What was that like, taking that information to farming? Did anybody have any prior skills in gardening, whether from the South or the people at the farm? Or was everybody just kind of starting to breathe?
No, we didn't know anything. We literally knew nothing. We just gathered books to read and seeds initially, you know, seed books, and grew our food. We got a land grant. We got the University of, what was it, Nashville. It was in Nashville. No, that was later on. We just did, and then there was a farmer named Reverend what? I can't think of his name. Anyway, he was in Nashville. He owned a lot of land outside of Nashville, and he was a preacher, and everybody was scared of him, but he knew how to grow food. And so we considered that we needed him to teach us. So we went to him and asked him, would he teach us how to farm? He said, well, I don't know. He said, because I have to talk to you like a mule, and mules don't talk back to me.
Oh.
And we said, okay, Reverend, you can talk to us like mules. We just want to learn how to farm. And he wasn't that mean. You know how some people put on that mean outer appearance. But he did teach us how to farm with mules also. And we grew so much food that year. We set up little markets in the ma and pa stores. So we had a route going to the ma and pa stores. And then we go to farm in the downtown area of Nashville every Sunday. And we'd be the only African-American people on the marketplace. And we were always the first to leave. Everybody would come and buy our food. And we learned a lesson there. We said, you know, like if a white man is making screws and you making screws, they people go buy their screws from them first. But if we're growing food, they come to us first.
Mm.
So that made a difference for us. They all wanted to buy our food. And we'd be the first to leave the market. So we were just, now I was the problem because I wasn't going to go out in the field because I was afraid of snakes and bugs at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I told them, I said, y'all do what y'all got to do in the fields, and y'all bring the food in, I'll cook it, you know, for dinner and stuff, but I'm not going out there in the field. Because I'm scared of snakes and bugs. They say, oh, she's not serious. They just talk about me. I say, y'all can talk about me all y'all want. I won't be going out there. And then I just started. But I had agreed to learn to farm because Reverend Bevel asked me, he said, what would you do if one day your child came to you hungry and you didn't know how to grow food? There was nobody to give you any food. And I imagined myself being in a situation with my child hungry.
Mm.
And it was the worst experience I ever had in life, that imagination.
Mm.
And I said, whatever I got to do to learn to grow food and wild food, her forage, I'm going to do that. So that meant learning about snakes and bugs, because in the Book of Wisdom it says, what does it say? I can't remember right now. Let me see, I hit my head. Yeah.
Oh, my. Uh-oh.
So.
We might be getting some temporary memory loss.
Yeah, a little bit, for sure. And
yeah.
So I just consumed all the knowledge I could about snakes and bugs. And then we moved to Memphis. And I went to the curator of reptiles at the zoo in Memphis. I made an appointment to ask him about snakes, because I figured if I could get out of his head and put it in my head, I wouldn't be afraid anymore. And so I did. He dispelled myths, all the myths, because, you know, black people, they spin a lot of myths.
Yes.
So I had to get rid of them. Like, they had a myth about this snake that would get up on its tail and chase you through the fields. And
oh, no.
I just couldn't see myself running through no field with no snake chasing me. That was a visual I didn't want to happen.
But, you know, that a lot of city people, they believe things. Because if you've never been around nature, you know nothing. I mean, everything in your life is concrete. You literally know nothing. Well, Deborah, she says, regarding those bus trips, you know, taking children out there, she said, we should have those bus pickups again. You know, we're going to have to organize that, because I think a lot of city children would really enjoy that sense of learning about nature and the experience of growing food, selling it, and making some money. I believe that would transform some lives. And she said, we city girls, silly, Mike and Bella, we city girls. So here we are. I mean,
I'm a city girl too. Born and raised.
I mean, when I started doing the farming program, I knew so much of nothing. I mean, I was constantly online and, you know, on the internet. I knew nothing. My parents had been raised in the South, and we had a garden out in the back. My father grew greens and bell peppers and all kinds of things, and okra. But I knew nothing. I mean, I bought my groceries from the store. I knew nothing.
Right.
And just the process of realizing that you know nothing, that's the first step to knowledge. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about that vision of creating, I guess, a communal kind of atmosphere where everybody works together as family. Because that's a part of our culture that got shattered when we got compartmentalized into these city buildings and separate dwellings, and we stopped talking to each other. So I want to talk about how that community was built and how you go about helping people to think differently so that they can actually see them as family, because that's a whole mind transformation. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We are talking with our dear sister, Maika Bevel, who has all her courage come to us even after an accident yesterday, and we pray for your speedy recovery on that, and certainly for any repairs of any damages to whatever vehicle you were in. And are very grateful for your diligence and tenacity and loyalty to the people in coming to us today, despite the challenge. So we'll be right back after this break, and we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you're on our switchboard, you got a comment. You got some callers on the switchboard that want to add to this conversation. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
We are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And on this third Wednesday of the month, we are featuring our dear sister, Maika. And let's talk about it with Maika. We're talking about the empowerment that comes when you create a community that is self-governing because people are growing their own food. Reverend James Bevel had a vision during that civil rights era of the 60s and 70s, and in the 1970s, took some city people out to the country and out to the areas where there was land where food could be grown and grew some food. And this is a powerful thing because most of us think that if we don't have enough money or don't get enough food stamps, then we're going to starve. And it never occurred to us that the solution is right under our feet. So, Maika, that process of retraining the mind to think that I can feed myself, how long did it take to get people to change their thinking about farming being something that only poor and rural people did and see it in terms of agribusiness, where you actually create a product that you can sell and make money from?
It was very interesting because Reverend Bevel would go to the ministers' conferences in Nashville. And, of course, he'd be coming from the field, so he might have some mud on him, his coveralls, you know. And the ministers would laugh at him, you know. He didn't care. He knew what we were doing. So, you know, it's kind of like what's going on now with the crisis in Africa. There's a food crisis in Africa now because 80% of the food that Africa receives comes from the Ukraine and Russia. So, they're in war.
I did not know that. So that
most
is,
people don't.
So rather than it being homegrown, a lot of it's imported.
Right.
Wow.
Right. See, that's what colonialism, is that what that's called, colonialism? Colonialism does. When the colonialists come in, they start exporting food to other countries. And then their food, they import from other countries, which puts you at a, it puts you at a level of dependency. Because you're not growing your own food. I mean, as fertile and as rich as the African soil is, they're actually importing food from Russia and the Ukraine. And now they're at war, so they're impending food shortages. And so the same thing kind of happens in the city with city people. They're not growing their food. They're importing it through the grocery stores and what have you, which leaves them in a dependent state also.
Yeah.
So
this
it's like under...
When the
go ahead, dear.
Arose, people panicked because they thought, what if we can't go grocery shopping? And they
right.
were, that's what they're hoarding stuff because they were afraid, what happens to buy food?
Right. Absolutely. Like, I believe, my personal belief is in a rural urban lifestyle, that you have that type of lifestyle where you're connected to the urban environment and you're connected to the rural environment, so that you become a holistic person then, because you have the ability to interact with nature, and then whatever you have to do, work or what have you, you're dealing with in the country, in the city, but it makes you more holistic and more grounded in what the real
you
needs
know,
are.
If,
yes. So, Kareem, do you have
anybody?
Do you want to make a comment? Do you have anybody also on your switchboard? I know we've got a couple of calls on the switchboard here, but go ahead, Kareem.
No, I don't see any, but I'll be very brief. There's a large farm here in the St. Louis area. It is named Grant's Farm.
Okay.
And yes, and when I was growing up, that was a place that the St. Louis schools would carry children to Grant's Farm, so they could actually see livestock, chicken, crops being grown. Horses, you know, you ask the average child now that's living inside of these concrete canyons, what is a chicken? And they're subject to say a chicken is a three-piece wing dinner. Many of them have never seen a live chicken, you know. So, and that separates us from the natural order of things, from nature, from our natural order. I recently read an article whereby there was a movement to shut down Grant's Farm. And powerful leaders, yes, ma'am, powerful leaders in the St. Louis region, they moved against that aggressively.
Wow.
And shut
wonderful.
That down. Yes, I belong to a group called Beyond Housing in 24 municipalities working as one. And we address the issue of a food desert and assembled investigative panel to go throughout the areas and see how many community gardens there were. And the report came back, they are everywhere. They are they are everywhere in this area. I know here in the city I live in, Pine Lawn, there's a community garden right across from Jackson Municipal Park. And it was planned and constructed, but then here comes the pandemic, which really negatively affected that. But inshallah, we hope to reintroduce that and add to those that are growing community gardens in this area.
Absolutely. You know what? I'd love to see every patch of land that's just sitting vacant. I'd love to see it growing food and us making sure we take care of the soil and not pour toxins on it or leave garbage on it. If we could do that, there's no reason for anybody to be poor, starving, hungry, struggling. There's no reason for it. We have enough land to take care of everybody. Now, what Maika was saying about Africa, depending on the Ukraine and Russia, I had not heard that. So that opens the door to a whole different level of the political maneuvers behind the scenes for that war. And obviously, you know, all wars have to do with controlling other people's resources. So who's trying to get control of the Ukraine so they can control that farmland? So,
I had Brother Kwame to do some research on it, and what he realized is that most of the African countries that are dependent on Ukraine and Russia are gold-producing countries. And as you know, Putin has said that all purchases have to be made in gold. So that's a way to increase his coffers with gold. There's a whole lot to it. So
trade gold for food.
Trade gold for food, right. Absolutely. So
that's
a problem. I want to say something to you about what you just said about taking all this vacant land and growing food.
Yeah.
I think the one of the most nutritious foods, they even take it up in space, is hemp seeds.
Ooh.
Hemp seeds turn into hemp sprouts, and it's totally nutritious.
Wow.
And if people would grow some hemp in their backyard and in these vacant lots, then there would be great amounts of food. But not only that, hemp is an air remediation plant and a soil remediation plant. That means it protects the air from viruses, bacteria, and germs.
Wow.
So hemp growing throughout the city of Chicago would eliminate these COVID viruses because they would not be able to withstand the hemp plant because it's going to take it in. It's going to repel it, kill it.
Wow.
So nature is awesome in its manifestations. And there's something in nature that can deal and cure everything. Hemp is one of those plants that will do it for us. If we have pure hemp-cleared air, you wouldn't have to worry about wearing masks again.
And getting shot.
Wow. And then, right.
that changes. And if the people who are in positions of authority and leadership had as the real agenda the well-being of the people instead of figuring out how to make a profit off of people, that would be a simple thing to do in order to create wellness. Plant the hemp. Now, what they do in order to control things, they make some things illegal, like, you know, hemp and all these other kinds of plants that could actually be producing. And then they take control of it, and then they process it in another form and then sell it back to us. So that's what has to happen. That's why we have to get control of the land and grow the food and honor the land by keeping it clean of wood and toxins. And, Corinne, you were about to say something regarding that issue of the food in Africa and the trading food for gold.
Yes.
You were about to say, Corinne,
Yes. We have to admit that a lot of countries in Africa are controlled by corrupt leadership. And what happens is the colonists come in, and they make a deal with the leader, a deal that we will import so many tons of rice to your country. And there's a financial cost that comes with that. And the leader, he signs that contract, and there are prohibitive measures used to reduce the domestic production of that product. And they undercut the regular grower that's been feeding themselves for years.
Yeah.
And that is what happened. We need to get rid of corrupt leadership that make deals with people that don't have our best interests at heart. You can drop a seed in Africa, and 24 hours later, you got a big tree. That's the ground is so firm. I'll stop right there.
Yeah,
true,
we got a call on the line at 1, and let me bring in area code 773-737. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers.
Hallelujah,
greetings,
Mama D.
It's so good to hear your voice. You know, land is the basis of all wealth. And I remember the acronym for Reverend Bevel's organization was C, but I don't remember what those letters stood for.
It's Students for Education and Economic Development.
Okay. Yes. See that? It worked. I remember seeds, even though I don't remember what it stood for. And those were good old days to take people on from the city, especially our young people, out to, was it Detroit, Michigan, and be out there where they could pick apples and stuff off the trees. But my two-year-old toddler class, I taught them to bring in seeds from oranges and watermelon, which is the original red, black, and green fruit. Did you know that?
Wow.
The seeds are black. The meat is red, the seeds are black, and the outside cover is green. That's kind of
Yeah, now that's a teachable opportunity.
And I heard that when it comes to fertility drugs, they use the rind of the watermelon. But I'm not going to elaborate on that. That's just something that I've heard. And the other thing was, I would tell them to bring in the grape seeds also. But I've noticed that it's becoming very, very difficult to find seeded grapes. Most of them are seedless. And I call that castrated. If they don't have seeds in it, I don't buy it, even though the seeded grapes cost more and they're harder to find. But I was wondering, what is your opinion on why they are removing the seeds from these naturally grown things that have the seed in them? Why do you think
You know that the seeds reproduce. The non-seeded grapes don't. So that means that you're dependent now on those who are creating the hybrid grapes and other fruits like watermelon and other fruits and vegetables so that they can profit from that.
Control.
All about control.
So Maika, I know we only got about a minute or so left, but I really would love to see us reinstitute or continue with SEED, you know, that Students for Educational and Economic Development, incorporating that as part of the work that we're doing with the farms, because we got to teach young people that you need seeds to grow, and then we have to show them how to grow the seeds. And like Deborah was saying, we need to start those bus trips back, taking them out there to the farmland,
and maybe you can plan a trip. So I know planting season is kind of coming up now. We're in the middle of April. We need to get some seeds in the ground and start growing some food. We really do have to do that. So we'll talk after the show and figure out a day that we can plan that trip and get some seeds in the ground so that we can be planting and harvesting this year. We got to do it.
Absolutely. And we can plant grapes with seeds.
We must be aware of that they have genetically modified seeds also. So in our choice of seeds, we want the pure seed, not the genetically modified.
That is right.
That's true.
Yes. Well, I know we've got to go, and I think we've got one more caller. We've got about 30 seconds. I believe this is Brother Mark Shaheed. We've got about 30 seconds.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Okay, I just want to alert your radio listening audience in terms of you being my special guest tonight on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. And it's a special time during the month of Ramadan. For those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it will start at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time at 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, a special guest, Naima Latif, and we're going to be taking on the topic of how Ramadan can positively impact and benefit the family life. That should be interesting, the discussion. We ask that you do tune in. And that number to call in is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. That's tonight on IWDM Radio. Thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you and us richly. As-salamu alaykum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan
Kareem.
Give us that time one more time.
The time for you, as you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, will be 4 p.m., 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. For those in the Chicago, St. Louis area, Midwest, those on the East Coast, it'll be 5 p.m. And I know you have listeners maybe listening on the West Coast, and if they're listening in, it'll be 2 p.m. for them. And that's this evening on IWDM Radio. Once again, the number, call-in number is 714-816-4673. We invite all to tune in, listen in, and to ask questions and all. You'll be our special guest facilitator tonight. Thank you so much, Naima. Great production as always here on the Female Solution. Assalamu alaikum.
Parenting, we'll talk about the responsibility for us to teach our children to see themselves differently, see themselves as empowered, and see themselves as capable of creating the world as it should be. Thanks again, Maika, and God's blessings be upon you. And
I ask that you stay tuned for the next upcoming broadcast entitled Halal.
India, Zanyabas,
and thank you to my Kareem Hamid, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jung Kujung, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God
and God's blessings.
Dedicated to Islam.
Thank you for using Blog Talk.